Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to episode 2 in our series, which is called The Lockdown Sessions. You were so proud of yourself last week, Ruth, when you came up with the quarantine sessions, until it was pointed out to me that we weren't exactly in quarantine. It's a different thing.
We're
in lockdown.
And we but it has a better ring to it, I think, quarantine sessions.
Yeah, but it's inaccurate, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and that's why it's not. It's lockdown sessions, part 2.
Part 2.
Hopefully it won't be too many sessions.
Well, we hope not. The sooner we can end these lockdown sessions, the better. Let's start with some bad news.
Damn straight.
Should we start with some bad news? Because I'm sure you're in...
yeah, there's definitely not enough bad news at the moment. That's what we're all in need of.
We certainly are. According to the Sunday Times this week, students of practical subjects such as medicine, veterinary science and dentistry will go back to university in the autumn. But those studying the arts may be stuck at home. Have you heard about this?
No, who says that?
University Why? Leaders insist undergraduates studying key science subjects must be fast-tracked back to campus for their practical classes. However, under contingency plans being drawn up, arts students may instead have to carry on at home with virtual seminars and tutorials, some until January.
No, they might as well just delay the term until January for us, because no, those online lessons, just they don't work. It doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work? Because I was interested in this.
The interaction doesn't work. Like, you're sat in a seminar. First of all, the program that they run it on, my laptop just doesn't work with it. Like, I think you've got to have quite an up-to-date laptop. And then you're sat in the seminars, they'll ask a question and it is dead silent because you can't tell when anyone else is about to answer, and then as soon as someone does speak, they speak over each other because
and then there's a delay on the line sort of thing, and then they
stop speaking because you want the other person to speak, and there's nothing to hold you accountable while you're in the thingy. Some of the online lectures, like, you just, it just doesn't work. It doesn't for my subject, at least.
No, and they want to charge you
the same rate
for these lessons.
And also, that isn't university, I think, has been, it's been well documented that it is not solely about the degree that you end about. It's about the experience of going, it's about living independently, it's teaching you how to be an adult in many ways as well. And you don't get that doing online lessons from home. And it's not, it's, you're paying £9,250 for the experience as well as the lessons, and you're not getting that from home, and it's ridiculous to suggest that you ever would be.
No, I think you're right, and you're not alone.
And it's very short as well, you know? Like, I've only got... Now I've had this one term cancelled, I've only got 3 more terms in York before I do a year abroad, and then your last year is very different, so I don't want to lose a whole term of that that I'm paying for.
Well, nobody wants to lose it, they're paying for. And the idea was that the online was going to work, but clearly it's not.
Well, I don't think it does.
No, well, you're not alone, actually. There was an interview in the paper yesterday with somebody called Sabrina Miller, who says she's incredibly worried she may miss out on the degree results she hopes for. She's a second year. We've talked a bit about first years and third years. She's a second year English student at Bristol University. She's writing 2 essays this month on Chaucer, good luck with that, and politically subversive books. Interesting subjects. Both count towards her degree, but she's had no teaching on either. universities moved tuition online in March because of the coronavirus crisis. And this is what she says. None of my tutors are doing online Zoom or Skype calls. Some are posting online lectures. Some lecturers are doing online seminars, but not in my subject. I'm incredibly worried that this lack of tuition will affect my final degree result. So that's almost the same as you. Your experience is almost exactly the same as that, isn't it? So how are you coping?
Yeah, it's fine.
But you don't seem to be doing a whole load of university stuff.
No, I do stuff, but not that much. Because it's really, really difficult to motivate yourself. It's difficult anywhere when you're at university because no one's really, especially in your first year, no one really cares that much. And then being at home, it's even harder. And not having, I don't like to work. I like to, even when I'm at home, I go to the library to work because I don't like working at home very much. So it's even harder to work in this environment. And then you also have nothing to look forward to. It makes it really difficult to motivate yourself in the day. Like, it isn't asking students to do the same work for the same results, but in a completely different situation is just not feasible. You know, like, you're working, you're trying.
This is from almost everybody. I mean,
yeah, and I think it's the same in normal jobs. Like, I saw something that I can't exactly remember what it said, but it was like, you're not working from home, you're trying to do work at home during a pandemic. Like, they're different things. It's not just normal working from home.
And like, of course it's not.
It's ridiculous to expect students to behave like that when you wouldn't expect someone in their normal job to behave like that.
And you're right about that. You like to work from the library, you like to be away from home, and it is difficult to work with a constant supply of Gilmore Girls that's there on Netflix. How the heck are you supposed
to... It's not a constant supply, it will run out.
Well, yeah, I was wondering when, because you have been watching Gilmore Girls.
I've slowed
now.
Down on the watching of it though, you know.
Have you?
Because I'm worried that I'm going to run out.
Rationing yourself. So,
I've pulled back.
So it's almost like these guys who perhaps go up Everest or those expeditions to the Antarctic. You had
whatever
to keep
you're
some...
about to say, I don't want to hear the end of it. It's definitely like those people who go up who climb Everest. That must be what it's like.
Well, you have to ration, you know, they had like one square of chocolate to give them the sugar and the protein or whatever it is in chocolate. It's not protein like
clearly
that.
You've not climbed Everest.
I've never got round to there. Well, I hurt my foot.
I do think they will send us back because also
they
should never have sent us home, because if you want to keep an economy running and you want to keep stuff open or you want to develop some kind of herd immunity, the best...
Well, we're not having herd immunity.
But at some point, unless there's a vaccine developed, we're going to want to develop some herd immunity, but it'll just be over a much longer time frame. But the best way to have done that would have been keeping university students at university. And if they go back for freshers' week, it's a well-known thing to get freshers' flu. Freshers' flu will probably be coronavirus this year. But
well, a combination of coronavirus and alcohol poisoning.
But the well-known thing is freshers' flu. University students get sick a lot because you're all packed in and you're not taking care of your immune system and all that kind of stuff. But it would have been a really good opportunity to let university students be at uni and develop a herd immunity there and keep shops and restaurants and stuff open for the economy, because...
Well, why do you think we didn't? Because we were taking, you know, what,
instead
it wasn't a political...
Instead they've sent us all home to vulnerable parents.
Well, it wasn't a political decision. It was based on the science.
I mean, herd immunity wouldn't have ever been possible because there would just have been too many deaths. That's what it is, isn't it? And I think it would have just been proved way too difficult to have been like, university students stay at university. And like, I think it just would have been too difficult. I don't know, but I would be really upset if they said... I wouldn't mind it if they said the term doesn't start, there's three terms, but they're going to start in January instead. That's it. I wouldn't mind that much because that's, you know, January, you're like, right, okay.
There's got to be ways to do it.
8 months or whatever, 6 months.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
You're like, right, that's okay. But the idea that it's like online classes starting in September back in January is way worse.
What's disturbing about universities is they don't appear to be working anything through. You know, All I hear is that they keep asking the government for a £16 billion bailout, £16 billion bailout, because they're going to lose loads of money with not getting overseas students next year. But I don't hear any really creative thing. You know, I hear from the Premier League every single day about possible plans to try and, you know, get the season done, you know, given that, and how they're going to arrange it with next season and the Euros. But I don't hear, I mean, your idea sounds right to me. I think you should go back.
Yeah.
God, I think you should go back. But I think you should
I'm with you, Dad. I'm not.
Yeah. No, I think you should go back. But I don't.
It's also what do they expect us to do, like carry on pay our landlords of a house we've never lived in.
Mm.
So for first year students, you're moving into a house you've never been in. Mm. You're not paying money to a university. It's a private landlord who will ask you to pay, because as much as landlords can be really dodgy and stuff, they are human beings who. They're also workers. They're going to have to make money somehow.
Mm.
You say that every university student is not. Well, are they going to pay for a house they've never lived in, or are they going to not pay? What are you going to do about landlords then? Which university students is their entire market? Like,
yeah.
I just don't see how it's feasible to not send us back in September, October.
The good news is you want the
good news.
Good news. Well, there is a little bit of good news is that people very much want you to do the podcast and keep it going during these lockdown sessions. I'll just mention one or two of the people. Andy May said he's so keen on the podcast. He says, Ruth, don't make me beg. He says, I've forgiven you now for having a go at Londoners, which you've done once or twice.
All of the bad reviews or bad feedback, or the two times people have sent me handwritten letters in the post, are always bad stuff about me. And there's one on iTunes that is like, it's like a good rating, but then they just like, thank God for her father, she hates London, like single-minded. It's not nice.
David Sharrett said, yes, hope you're both well, missing you. Tony Gould, good to have you back. Please do another. He says, any topics are fine, but if you take requests, do we take requests for topics?
Yeah, of course.
He says, more on Martin's initial assertion that the, I don't think it was me, I think it was you, that the economic hit of the lockdown will kill people. I think you quoted that bit of, you know,
of
if we're going to from The Big Short.
It will be a recession like no other, I think.
I take this
view. What does happen? Like,
what if there's
it is scary, you know.
It is a bit scary. We become.
I don't really remember the recession that much in 2008.
Well, to be honest, we sort of muddled through. My brother's take on this is, because I said to him, the economy is just going to go bust. He said, no, too many powerful people don't want it to go bust, therefore it won't. So I said,
how
sure
does that work?
I don't know, but he does publicity for Fortnum & Mason, so he knows what rich people think. But I presume they have to put lots of stimulus in.
A recession will never be as bad for rich people.
People right at the bottom end of the scale, you're right, the underclass more things, the death rate will go up, there's no doubt about it. But it's nothing tangible happens in a recession, except it's a lot harder to find work.
Yeah.
Which is another bad thing for you people, but I'm trying to do the good news now.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Now, Brian Long, who I actually know, he's a super crony, I think we'd call Brian.
I think you would call him a friend.
Yes, a friend. Of course I would. He says, now, what's all this reluctance on Ruth's part, recontinuing with the podcast? Ruth, you could always look on it as a welcome break from watching rubbish telly all day. Just look at it another way. It gives the old man some purpose in life. Consider it as care work.
Mm.
So there you go.
I used to be 15, 16, when I was going to like house parties, but I could never, first of all, no money because I was like 15, so couldn't get a taxi back, and then also wasn't old enough to like find my own way home and stuff. And I remember I would be like, Mum, I'm going to this party, like, how should I get home and stuff? She would always say, oh, ask Dad, he'll pick you up. And I was like, oh, no, I don't want to make him, you know, if it's going to be like midnight. And Mum would always just go, no, it's fine, it gives him purpose.
That's what she said. Well, I also used to like to stay up, you know, as long as you were out, even if it was 1:30 in the morning. It was good fun because I put my music on in the car. We'll hear a bit of our music a little bit later on. When we got emails from all over the place. I mean, literally, we said double figures and we'll do another one. Way more than double figures. It was
not triple figures, but...
Not triple figures, but way more than double figures. Jennifer Parkinson said, "Dear both, I've been listening since your podcast was first mentioned in a newspaper. Do you remember those golden days when we got reviews? And I'm a regular listener and fan. Every week I'm into email you with some comments, but somehow I never do. Anyway, now there's a risk you're going off air." She says, "I had to put fingers to keyboard to say, please find a way to carry on podcasting. If you're no longer funded by Talk Radio, you could consider asking for PayPal contributions." I don't want to beg. I'm not going to beg. She says, "I'm in my..."
I'm more worried. It's less like, oh, I'm not getting paid anymore, so like, oh, what's the point? It's more just...
talking to your dad for no money.
No, it's also more like I'm worried that it'll just be boring or... downer, do you know what I mean?
It's not going to be boring because there's loads of things happening. Jennifer says, she says, "I'm in my 60s, but I sometimes agree more with Ruthie than with Dad. I have a daughter at uni here in Italy. Other times, I'm firmly with Dad, especially about the Beatles, who weren't even mentioned in your latest podcast." Well, we've mentioned them now, this week, and aren't they wonderful? There's a new song out. I think it'll be rubbish, actually, but it's a collaboration done in the 90s between Ringo and Paul. So it'll be the first new Paul McCartney music for a little while. And
he was on that Kanye West track.
Yes, he was, you're right. I studied French with European institutions at university in 1974-78. I'm delighted Ruthie is studying French. Although I live in Italy, I've never lost my love of French language and literature and the country itself, of course. Looking forward to more of the same. I particularly like descriptions of things on TV. You might hear a bit of that. And new buzzwords. She likes all that. Keep in touch with you young folk. Ciao for now, says Jenny in Rome.
So Italy's on my list after I've done French and Spanish. After I feel like I'm a good level at Spanish, Italian's my next.
Yeah, well, their economy is absolutely shot. I mean, much, much worse than ours. I saw a report from Naples on the TV, and Naples is, you know, Naples is a poor, it's one of the poorest regions in the EU anyway, and even poorer at the moment, and crime, mafia are taking over and all sorts.
Quickly, she mentioned her daughter was studying in Rome. There's another thing for, like, if universities don't go back in September, there's a whole year of students who are meant to be starting their year abroad, and if they can't go, but we move up, and then they can't, they start their year in a different time, because you can't do a year abroad from home.
No.
So that will all be out of sync as well. So that's another.
Yeah, well,
it's, it would be nice for there to be like just a little bit of clarity about, or like just an acknowledgement of the problems from either the universities themselves, the institutions, or a national wide.
See,
like they do talk about schools an awful lot more in the press briefings and stuff, and just in general, like. Yeah. Government officials.
So in the press briefings, there are loads of things in the newspapers about universities all the time, you know, about how they're suffering. But
no, like, governmental... Is that right?
Governmental, yes.
I always really struggle how to say that. Governmental sort of information, or, yeah, just an acknowledgement of, like, there are all of these things that we're trying to solve. It feels a little bit like it's just
There's
kind
a lovely
of...
word in America, by the way. Gubernatorial, which means at governor level. So they say it's a gubernatorial decision, which is, you know, if you're having trouble with governmental, just be thankful.
Gubernatorial.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
It is a good one. Thanks to Stephen Walker, who just sent it because he wanted us to get into double figures. He said, "My youngest daughter is disappointed to miss out on her final semester at university."
That is would be really rubbish.
He says, "Far from the end of the world." Maybe for, not for you, Stephen, but for her. Neil Vicker, Evesham in Worcester. She's loved our work from the beginning, Ruth. Called it work. John Kelly is in Sydney, Australia, and he says it's the best dad and daughter podcast around. Anyway, well done. Kenny Morrison, who's on the staff at the University of Dundee, so maybe you can do something about these issues we're talking about. Chris Best, Peter Bradburn, he says, please keep it going if Ruth can tear herself away from her jigsaws. Although you're sort of jigsaw.
I finished that one, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did that 1500 piecer and that was it.
Yeah.
Terry Hall, Brad Heaton. Brad Heaton's from Seattle. He's got in touch with us. Oh. He said.
That's where Grey's Anatomy is set.
That is where Grey's Anatomy is set. And Frasier.
Is it?
Yeah, you know my views on Frasier.
You don't like it? I can't remember.
I liked the early ones, and then it went on for way, way, way too long, and it jumped so
Kelsey
high
Grammer
over the show.
Kelsey Grammer,
that's right. And David
I've
Hyde.
I've never watched it.
David Hyde Pierce.
It's from Niles. Like almost the same, it was on at the same time as Friends, wasn't it? Like their later seasons were a bit earlier.
Yes, it started
but
earlier
you watch
Friends.
Any of Frasier and it looks really, really old. Whereas I think if you watch Friends, it's dated much better. I think that is one thing you can say about Friends, is it, although it looks charmingly 90s, it hasn't dated that as badly as a lot of those other
I think the reason for that is Friends has always been there in the, you know, these people in Friends, like Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer and all those people, have sort of been around, even if it's just on T-shirts and mugs and things. But, I mean, I saw somebody on the internet the other day with a Friends mug and all that sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? They never went away. They're familiar to us, I think, whereas the Frasier people maybe not so much. Anyway, Brad Eaton is in Seattle, and he says, yes, more podcasts. They're also on lockdown there. He says, it's always interesting, the podcasts, and often quite funny.
Sometimes.
High praise indeed. I'm a radio guy myself, he says. I host the morning show on a classical station, King FM. Hmm. So there you are.
Classical.
Just like Kelsey Grammer, radio man in Seattle.
Oh, is that what he does in French?
Yes, he's a radio psychiatrist. Matt, who's in Adelaide, has got in touch.
In New Zealand?
Australia.
Oh, cut that out, wait. In Australia?
Yes, in Australia, that's right. Matt says, thanks, Ruth, for the music tip this week. Fan of Kid Cudi and Yeezy, wasn't aware of the collab. So there you are.
Wait, say that word again.
Kid Cudi?
No, the last word.
Yeezy?
No, the last word.
Collab.
Okay, you called it a collab.
Oh, collaboration.
Collab, yeah.
Yeah.
You can call it a collab.
Joanna Johnson, she wrote to us, you've had a direct message from her daughter.
Yeah, I need to go back through those because I never check Twitter messages.
Oh,
yeah, I need to go back.
Gary Robson says, we are the new...
It's nice to have some women.
Yes, it is. We've got women, we've got people from all over the world. Adelaide, Sydney... Dundee.
Was there anyone
Naples?
From Sydney?
John Kelly. Ex-monk living in Sydney, he says. And he believes that you possess precocious talent.
Precocious is not... It's not... It's kind of...
You're too old to be precocious.
It's one of those underhanded compliments as well.
Yeah.
It's like you call
a boss. If you're precocious when you're 6 years old, that's brilliant, you know, because
cute,
you can do things,
yeah.
But when you're 19, you're too old to be precocious.
God, if I have to turn 20 in lockdown.
What's that programme called where the people are old people, around about my age, even older than me, and they go to...
Older than you? No.
Yeah, they go to the Marigold Hotel or something. Is it called...
Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, if you're...
I've never watched that.
If you're... Oh, it's terrible. But I was you know, like I say, it's old people. I mean, I am one. I don't need to watch it on the TV. But if you're, a Z-list celebrity and you're too old for... Because, no, they don't really want you on Come Dine With Me. You know,
no,
like,
it was a film.
People.
The Best Exotic
Marigold
Hotel.
Oh, no, it's a reality show on TV now.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it's called. It might be called The Real Exotic Marigold
Hotel.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I've never seen the film or the TV
program. Yeah, well, the TV show. But they were older people. And then I thought, it must be better if you're a Z-list celebrity and you're too old for Love Island, but too young for the exotic, you get caught in that mid-area.
That's the big news, actually, today. They've announced that there's no Love Island in 2020. It's delayed till 2021.
Well, it would be, because that's all about social distancing.
Travel,
and Love Island don't exactly mix.
No, I think... I don't know why they couldn't just put them all in the villa together and they're all isolating there. It seems like a perfect programme. They never go anywhere.
Oh, I see what you mean. I'd be part of the same household.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose they could. But there are... Now you've got
too
hot to handle and you've got that other blind date.
I've still not watched
thing.
That.
Yeah, but you've got those, so Love Island a bit irrelevant.
No.
Anyway,
not.
So Joanna Johnson, she loves them. Robert Rayner, Craig from Harlech in North Wales. So Dundee, North Wales, Adelaide, Sydney, Rome. We're loved all over the world. There was an old Hancock sketch where he was radio ham. They're guys who try and get in touch with other people via radio signals all over the world. And at one point he said, friends all over the world, all over the world. Not in this country, but et cetera, et cetera. It was very funny in the 1960s.
Yeah, sounds it.
Yeah. Mike Harrison says, I was a big fan of Gilmore Girls when it was on and loved the music they would play.
It is scored well.
Yeah, he says, plus there was the bonus of Carole King being one of the inhabitants of Stars Hollow. Incidentally, the last night out my wife and I had before the lockdown was seeing the Carole King musical, Beautiful, which you've seen, haven't you?
Yeah.
He saw us at the Alhambra Theatre in Bradford. Where did you see it?
Oh, I saw it in New York when I was on holiday.
I know.
Fancy
indeed. Phil Strait from Whitstable, Adrian Ailes, Sean Dwyer. These are all people who added to our Double Figures, and Paul Sandham, who talked about the what little bits of excitement you can have during the lockdown. He says, excitement is encapsulated in seeing one more rainbow chalked on the side of somebody's house, or noticing the bin men have put the bin back in something approximating the place they took it from to empty it, or even the right street, really. Well, I won't hear words said against our bin men. They've been brilliant. You know, I'm in charge of the bins, aren't I? Very much sure.
Yeah, I don't do the bins.
No, you don't do the bins. Nobody does the bins apart from myself. Should we?
Gives you purpose.
It does give me purpose.
But thank you for all your emails.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Bless you for that.
And if you do want to get in touch, the email is martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Certainly is. martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Time for a little bit of music. Start with yours.
Yes, start with mine. Mine is called Do Re Mi, and it's by Black Bear, who are quite, their songs are quite like club tunes, at least some of them are, and like very dancey.
Mm.
And I've been like quite liking a club tune during lockdown. You know, it reminds me of times past. So yeah, give it a listen.
Yeah. If I could go back to that day we met, I probably would just stay in bed. You run your mouth all over town, and this one goes out to the sound of breaking glass on my face.
Wow, did you like that, Dad?
Well, I quite liked it. It made me, I had to select very carefully the 25 seconds that I played.
They've got a whole song that's called Hot Girl Bummer, which is like Hot Girl Summer. I don't know whether you remember, that was a bit of an online craze where everyone was like, it was Hot Girl Summer. Anyway. Really too long.
I missed out on Hot Girl Summer.
And then literally the whole song is just the words F you and then the actual word. And I thought, well, I can't pick that. Cause
no. Well, this one was quite salty as well, there were a few. But I did manage to find 30 seconds with no expletives, as we do appear in the family-friendly section of Apple Podcasts. My tune is a reminder of one of my favourite films of all time, which is the 1982 film Tootsie, starring my friend Dustin Hoffman.
You can't just call someone you like your friend.
Well, I feel he's a friend because I've sort of grown up with Dustin Hoffman right the way through, from very early films like The Graduate, you know, in the 60s, all the way through to The Little Fockers. You know, he's had a fantastically long career, and things like The Marathon Man and all that. But allegedly, at one time, they were sort of talking about him in a bit of a sort of Woody Allen context, that he was a little bit... No, not that, and neither was Woody Allen. No, you talk about him in the sort of his sexual politics was a bit 60s-ish, put it that way. And unlike what has been happening in the whole history of the movie industry, he may very well have slept with some of his leading ladies, which, as we know, is shocking and almost unknown. But anyway, he was
right.
Brilliant.
Yeah, let's give it a listen.
Brilliant performance. Not yet. So I'm not.
Oh, you're not finished speaking about it.
I'm not finished building it up yet.
That's quite a lot of build-up.
Because I wouldn't like to think people think this is my particular music taste. Anyway, the film was Tootsie, 1982. Music by Dave Grusin, who did a lot of good 70s and 80s film music, loads of it. But I thought what was interesting about this, the Dabney Coleman character, who is the producer of the soap that they're all making in the film, he's very much like that sort of figure. You know, if you wanted to know about sexism in Hollywood, I know we're getting all sorts of stuff now, like The Assistant, which we've not watched yet, but all sorts of documentaries about Me Too and everything. This, they sort of identified that in 1982 in Tootsie. So well done, director Sidney Pollack, who's also one of my favourite directors. So the music from it by Dave Grusin is very good. The song, It Might Be You, can you remember it?
No.
From the film? But you've seen the film,
haven't
you?
Yeah, I've seen the film.
A couple of times.
Loads of times, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you had.
I just don't remember this song.
No, well, the song is what the Americans like to call adult contemporary. Anything from the Eagles to Neil Diamond to sort of stuff for older people that they can market to. And this was very... In fact, I think it was number one in the adult contemporary chart, and it's Stephen Bishop, and it's called It Might Be You.
Time, I've been passing time, watching trains go by. All of my life, lying on the sand, watching seabirds fly.
One phenomenon that I've noticed being mentioned in a few of the columns at the moment is Zoom weariness. People getting fed up of, at the start was quite a nice novelty, Zooming with your family and having quizzes and everything.
Mm. You still I'm so that? Bored of quizzes.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, I'm bored of quizzes.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice to having a thing. I get it because it's like it can be a bit weird just logging on to a video call and sitting there and being like, right, so... You know, it's harder to speak to people, so I get why people do it, so it's like a thing. But they are getting a little bit... Well, it's when the question's like similar and then it's just a bit like, ugh.
Well, I was absolutely fed up to the back teeth with the Zoom quizzes. Until last night, when I correctly identified that Hugo Boss was the fashion house that produced clothes for the Nazis during the war.
You just like being right.
I loved being right
about
that.
So you don't really like a quiz if you don't know the answers, definitely. But you like a quiz when you get the answers right, which is not really what it's about.
Oh, yeah, it is for me. I just not even getting all the questions right, and I'm quite happy to get loads of questions wrong. But just knowing something that nobody else knows is quite nice, even though when I say nobody else, I just mean nobody else in our family knows. But, I it's all the settling down for the Zoom and the quizzes, and as you say, there's so much appeal in general knowledge. It only goes so far. Going to talk a little bit about colonialism. I know you always like to attack me on this, but I think there's a good dividing line between history and colonialism, and I don't think there's much use in.
I think colonialism is part of history.
It's part of history. But what I'm saying, if you're just looking at something from a historical point, well, I'll tell you what I mean. Right, it's the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower voyage to the New World. You know about the Mayflower?
No.
You know, there's something called the Plymouth Brethren. They were people who wanted religious freedom. So they, you know, they didn't want to be persecuted by the Christian church or Catholic church or whatever. So they went to America. They sailed from Plymouth in 1620 to start a new life free from religious persecution. Now, Mayflower 400, they've created resources for children to learn about the historic trip in the classroom, on internet and all that sort of stuff. However, critics, people like yourself, are jumping in there and have accused the bosses of Mayflower 400 of buying into the myth of the Mayflower. Some want the education programme scrapped and rewritten. Members of the National Education Union, which is a big teachers' union, they're calling for the material to be withdrawn and reviewed because, obviously, Native Americans, I suspect. It doesn't say for real here.
I mean, like, instantly there's a problem with calling it the New World, isn't it?
Well, it was the New World to us when we went.
Yeah, but it wasn't the New World.
Well, yes, but we considered it to be the New World in 60. We know it wasn't now.
Yeah,
but
so then the way that we talk about it and the way that we teach it should change with the facts that we know now.
Yes, and we should as well as recognise that there were people. And it's clearly, I think, well, in fact, I know, because Mayflower 400, who are now getting attacked by the teachers' union things, say that it aims to tell all aspects of the story. We have worked with the Wampanoag tribal nation to ensure that they can tell it from their perspective. So these things do, you know, it just seems like a knee-jerk reaction. And they say they've been in touch with this Wampanoag tribal nation and put input from them in it. Americans today, this is a historian saying this, Americans today enjoy the blessings of the English tongue, Magna Carta-based rights, and all the other benefits of the English and Scottish Enlightenment.
You can't say that.
Why?
You can't call it Enlightenment.
Well, that's what it's called, isn't it? They say the Enlightenment, they mean that era, the era of the 17th century.
Yeah, but the words were, Americans today enjoy the blessings of the English tongue. What was wrong with original tribal languages of Native Americans? Magna Carta-based rights, what considering that they had no freedoms of their own? We committed mass genocide and imposed...
I'm not sure Mayflower people did.
No, not the Mayflower people, but they're talking about the English tongue, they're saying benefits of the English and Scottish Enlightenment. Mm. What Enlightenment?
They brought those to America.
They didn't bring those. Like, history has proved that is not what they did. They forced Native Americans into these schools. You can see the pictures of them. They stripped them of their native clothing.
Not the Plymouth Brethren didn't, did they, particularly?
Yeah, but he's implying that was all... That's what happened in America.
No, that was the start of what happened in America.
And that is so, like, just a little thing that he says at the end. He says that they... Enlighten all these. Oh, we've also spoken to a tribe. He's covering his back. That's what that reads like.
I mean, they're covering the back so that they can get their historical lesson across.
Yeah, but you can't say we've spoken history.
Let's not
scrap history. Exactly the opposite. You can't call something an enlightenment. You can't say that you taught them English. They didn't want to learn it. Shouldn't have had to have learned it. What happened in America to Native Americans was a genocide and a stripping of their cultures.
Yeah, there's nothing to say you can't teach that as well as...
No, but the two can't be taught as well as. You can't teach that they brought enlightenment and these people did this, but also this is what happened. Like, you have to teach... It's one lesson.
To be honest, if you look at the history of the United States, that would be... That's an important part of the history of the United States.
Yeah, so you
that
can
what
say
happened
that
in 1620. My view is that you teach about the good things as well as the bad things.
What good things?
The English language, the Magna Carta.
No, but
the
those things
justice
forced
system.
Upon Native Americans.
Sorry? Yeah, it was probably a good thing.
No, oh my gosh, that is colonial superiority.
No.
And white superiority as well.
Well, no, it's where
to
they
say
were,
that the English were, language is a better language.
You know,
that...
Well done, the Chinese. They invented fireworks. You look at where different things come from. You know, you look at our road engineers and the bridges and things like that.
That's
completely
different. Saying we built bridges is not a bad thing, but saying the English language that we brought is a good thing. That's the same as saying we civilized people. It's not true.
No, I think the English language is a marvellous language.
But why is it better than Native American tribal languages?
Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't... You know, if that's your tribe and you want to speak, you can talk... But you can talk to the world in English. you know, and from English stemmed a worldwide movie industry, literature, all sorts.
That I don't agree.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll put it over to the public. We'll have a public vote. If you agree that, I mean, my view is the pendulum swung slightly too far. I think these things should be...
Yeah. Dad, you're
foreign people.
You're ignoring a genocide of people, of stripping people
them.
Of their culture.
What I'm saying is...
And the things that we did to people. And we're only speaking about Native Americans. There's Aboriginals in South Africa, in Australia, like so many other places. You're saying the pendulum swinged too far.
Yes.
No. Like,
if you watch those
whole tribes were wiped out because if they wouldn't do what we told them to do, you can't just say the pendulum swing too far and ignore it.
No, I'm not ignoring it. As I'm saying, the pendulum. What I'm saying is, if you watch a travel show on the TV and you watch somebody in Indonesia or somewhere going on one of these railway journeys, I've seen a couple of those with Michael Portillo. So he goes on a railway journey, and it was a Scottish or an English, often a Scottish actually, railway engineer who built these railway lines through the mountains and designed these railway lines. Yes, sure, there were probably dreadful things committed by some less enlightened people on the native population.
Why
can't I say less enlightened?
Because how were they less enlightened?
They were less enlightened because they committed atrocities.
Sorry, I thought you were calling the people who didn't want the railway built.
No, there wasn't people who didn't want the railway built. The railway brought great benefits, and it was built by engineers from our country. So there is a good...
There's all sorts of things
we brought to Africa and the Far East, which was part of colonialism, and clearly were there for our own purposes, but there were great benefits too. Let's talk just briefly about being a Northern student at a Russell Group University. Mm. Apparently, some Northern students down south are being discriminated against because of their Northernness and have found it necessary to open a Northern group, or, you know, there's a Northern club. So, like in Oxford, they've got an Afro-Caribbean society, they've got an Islamic society, they've now got a Northern society for people who want to hold on to their Northern heritage, and particularly, it says here, to celebrate their shared love of chips and gravy. For you, it's sort of the other way around, isn't it? Because people from the south...
Yeah, but I would say that York feels very southern.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it?
I think it's because it's kind of... There's quite a lot of people who are quite posh who go there, because it ends up being a bit of, like, if you don't get into Cambridge and Oxford, quite a few people go to York because it's the same, like, collegiate system. So I think it ends up being quite... Like, you would be more discriminated against if you were Northern rather than Southern, I think.
Mm. Well, this guy here who's founded it, Daniel Goss, he's 22, he's from Manchester. He founded Oxford's Northerner Society. He's studying philosophy, politics and economics there. He says, it's recently seen an exponential growth, and we now get hundreds signing up at freshers' fairs. Through the funding we receive from the university, we want to increase applications to Oxford from the north, but we also want to strengthen the idea of the north as somewhere to aspire to. We bring in speakers to talk about things like the Northern Powerhouse. Have you spotted the Northern Powerhouse at all?
Not recently.
No. Well, it's supposed to be coming at some point. Boris Johnson did say he was going to even it up.
Likely. No, that until there's a reason for people in power to want the North to be better than it won't, it'll remain the same.
Well, I read a piece today about how the fact that the new normal, I know you're very keen on the old normal, but the new normal may include the provinces, Manchester, Leeds, York, taking a bigger part in the nation, that everything can't, that London is too crowded.
I think
now,
this will prove that London is too big for its own good.
Yeah. And we rely on it too much for
the economy.
And too big for the climate's good as well.
Mm.
You know, the guy called it...
In fairness, though, I don't think it needed a pandemic to tell you that. Like,
no.
I'm very young, and so have not been around...
How young? You're 19.
No, but I've not been around that long, and I could have told you that. Like, that people have been saying that for years and years and years, since I remember that London is too big, we need investment in the north, we need investment in the railways. Like, people have been saying that for years and years and years.
Yeah.
I don't think it should have needed a pandemic to tell you.
No, it shouldn't, that London, but it did do. And
I guess that's a positive, that because this terrible thing that's happened, maybe now we'll get some real change. But it shouldn't have.
Yeah.
It should never have got this. The north-south divide should never have got this bad.
Yeah. And there are the guy calls it the Pret-a-Manger Society, because there are so many Prets in London, and he's talking about all these people gathering in Pret-a-Manger to take their sandwiches up to their office in London. Mm. And, you know, they're not from London, these people. They don't need to be there. If we'd, if we'd have ordered our society in a sort of federal way, like I discussed this before, like Germany, where you've got big centres like Frankfurt, it's got its own daily paper. Nobody's daily paper has to come from
London. I never even thought about that, that all the papers, of course there's going to be a south bias in papers. Of course there's going to be more news about the south of England and about London if all the papers are from there.
Yeah.
I'd never thought about it as weird, because that's just the way it is. Mm. Like, the Times, the Guardian, the Mail, the Sun, whatever, they're all run in London.
Yeah. And it's because Germany is federal.
I never thought that it could be another way. Like, why can't there be a Times-sized newspaper in Manchester?
Yeah. Well, we have had... I mean, the Yorkshire Post once used to be considered to be a national newspaper, but that went years ago.
That's the weird thing, is that Yorkshire is huge, like absolutely huge, and the Yorkshire Post is like a funny little local newspaper.
Yeah.
Or it might as well be.
It might as well be. Yeah, I mean, I heard the editor of the Yorkshire Post, and they do try, and they have had some sort of exclusive stories and things, but it still appeals mostly to people in North Yorkshire as well. It doesn't really cover West or South Yorkshire that well, although I'm not an expert. I don't get it every morning. But, you know, in Germany, Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung considered to be a perfectly national... You know, it's not from Berlin, but people read it all over.
Yeah,
you know, in France, I think it's called Le Midi, the paper from the south of France. It doesn't have to come out of Paris to be...
France, like, I don't know, the way it strikes me is that there's also more different newspapers having very different stories. It's not like the press isn't one, kind of like all the... We have, like, all the right-wing newspapers, all the sort of more liberal newspapers. Whereas in France, there seems to be, it's more niche, like more different sort of smaller types of news and stuff, which I think sounds like a better, like a healthier way for it to be.
Well, I think it's also because they are either local or regional newspapers mean something there. Not here, as you say, everything comes from London.
Maybe that'll be one of the positives that comes out of this, is that...
With a bit of luck.
Yeah.
With a bit of luck.
I think it's another one of those things, if rich people want money to stay in London, then it'll stay in London. Not to be pessimistic, but...
Well, hopefully we're not being too pessimistic, and we have satisfied a public need, in that our 27 emails did prove there was a market for what we're doing.
Okay, well, we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening.
Yes, we will see you next week, because we're doing one again next week, yes?
Yeah, I guess so.
You love it, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do one again next week. And thank you very much indeed for listening. Just to tell you, if you want to hear those two tunes...
They will be on the Spotify playlist. You can find it by typing Martin and Ruth, or Ruthie, You Need Dad and Me, or Martin and Ruth Podcast, or any of those things. You can find our Spotify playlist, where you'll find this week's tunes in full and all the other songs from all the other weeks.
Most of the other songs.
And the email is martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running, with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.